It's Tuesday night and time to talk Chadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows.
Our motto is tough, smart, physical. We want to be a tough football team. We want to be a smart football team. We want to out physical the other team. Then mixing up the fronts, the three-man front, the four-man front, and then blitzing out of both fronts. You know, those eight sacks were awesome. There's an old adage that says, hey, whenever there's a quarterback battle, you really don't have a guy. I do not feel that way. Any one of these three can be leaders of our team and be the every rep guy.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
It's Tuesday night. That means head football coach Jay Long is in the studio with us for the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows, to break down the prior game, look ahead, and get some team insights with us. Coach, glad to have you in the studio again here today as our season moves along into the final few games of the year. We'll take a look at Mesa coming up shortly, but first let's get back into last week's game. Your Eagles made a second-half comeback. You get a 24-21 win at New Mexico Highlands. That had to feel great seeing your team really step up in that second half and finish off the strong comeback win.
Yeah, Dave, you know, it was a fun finish for the game. And, New Mexico Highlands, we've had some crazy games down there. It feels like we're either, you know, in a really good situation or the game's like that, where it's a back and forth and a crazy game. And, you know, Coach Hudson down there, he's done a really good job. The kids are coached up and you know, they're really playing hard. And, you know, down there over the years, you know, when we played them, we've played teams that, you know, are heavy junior college teams, heavy transfer team. And, you know, he's really trying to build it from the high school players. And those high school players are believing in his culture. And he really showed on Saturday that, you know, it isn't your transfer team. It is a team that is really, coached well and buying into that culture. And I would just want to say hats off to them. But, you know, as far as our guys went, you know, I thought we followed our recipe, man. We played great defense. We made a difference on special teams. And then we found a way to score at the end with offense. So, that's been our game plan pretty much the whole year. And it came through on Saturday.
This season, you've had a couple of those second half games where you've had to come back. And was this a more satisfying win than the Quincy game in the first matchup of the year? It was a different kind of comeback victory compared to the Wildness in Illinois. Was this Highlands win more satisfying than Quincy? How do you compare them?
Dave, I've been a head coach since 2000, or excuse me, I've been a coach since 2000, and this would be my 23rd or 24th season. Don't know how to count them, but and I can just tell you the one thing I've learned over the years is that wins feel great and losses feel terrible. So which one do I love the best? I love them both, man. It felt great to get those wins on big road trips, and, you know, it makes the bus trip so much better. It makes your week so much better. And, you know, with our guys, you know, the belief system continues to go with it. So, I could just tell you that all wins are awesome. And both of them was really thrilling, to find ways to win at the end with things. And both of them had, you know, things that really stood out, in it. And with the Highlands game, you know, it really came down to our belief because we were down the whole game. And our guys just kept playing. And we were really close. You know, everything was just like, all right, there was a wide open wide receiver, but then they tipped the ball. Or, you know, on their touchdown, it was like we had the guy tackled for a 5-yard loss, and then that guy broke free, you know, for a big play, you know. And so we just knew that, hey, all we had to do was just execute. And in the second half, we executed.
Yeah, it was that type of game. It felt like you were right there, and we'll get into some of the turning points here in a moment. And that Cowboy team was a lot better than just a two-win team on paper. They came to play. They've got some great athletes, and you guys got the job done against them. And, Coach, as we look at the game, what do you feel like was a big adjustment, maybe a change that got things going a little bit more offensively in the second half? It was kind of tough on third down in the first two quarters, just 1-7. And the way the Cowboys were making a lot of plays, deflecting a lot of passes, getting some turnovers, you guys were able to get some offense in that second half and get the win.
You know, I think in that third, you know, in that when we look at back on film, you watch, you know, offensively, you know, where we got in the third down struggles, it was a few different things, but, you know, I thought that we really ran the ball really well against them. And Jacob Marshall had another really good day running the ball and understanding where our blocking scheme hits. And then we were able to come in there with another spark, and Brock Ping came in and provided a couple sparks with some big, you know, two, three big runs with things. So, you know, you know, I thought that went really well. But really, they quit knocking down our passes. We started running things a little bit different. And, you know, in that first half, I don't think we've had that many knockdowns the whole year combined is what we had in that first half. And, you know, one thing that, you know, that New Mexico Highlands wanted to do is they really wanted to pressure us. And it kind of put us out of whack a little bit with our consistency of being consistent on calling our plays with things. But, yeah, at the end of the game, we just really learned how to, you know, take care of the, you know, take advantage of the blitz and use it to our advantage.
I don't know that in the last 5 years, Coach, I've seen as many combined blocked passes at the line of scrimmage between the two teams. And you mentioned Highlands. They really made that a big focus of the game plan. After the first play, the tip pass, the interception, was it pretty easy to settle the guys down because it was the first play of the game? Or how did you settle them down at that moment when you get behind in Las Vegas, New Mexico, it can be tough to come back?
Well, you know, David, it's kind of interesting. We were talking before the game, you know, about when, you know, Dylan Soule and Sandy, you know, started off that the last time we were down there, we started off so hot, you know, where Dylan Soule came down and hit the returner so hard and the ball bounced out and then Sandy scooped it up and scored. And then the next play is defense went out there and we had a big punt return. You know, just boom, boom, boom. We stacked up our points and we had a great start, you know, with things. And this game went the other way. It went for them. And, you know, like we said, you know, there's still a lot of game left and you got to continue to settle and play for a full 60 minutes. And I thought our guys did that.
You mentioned Jake Marshall. He's been the leading rusher the last several weeks. Boy, does he run tough. He takes on contact. He stays on his feet. He's just barreling down the field and has become really fun to watch in the leader of that backfield.
Yes, he's you know, he's an interesting, you know, a story because, you know, he started off this year as the fourth string running back, you know, on our depth chart, I guess, on paper. And, you know, throughout the year, he's just been continuing to be more consistent, more consistent, more consistent. And, you know, he really reminds me of Derek Jackson, from a few years back.
Yeah.
A guy that just understands where the hole is. Even if there's not very much of a hole, he knows that he understands where the blocking scheme is and where the guys are going to come off and he just gets in there and gets in that push and, you know, gets 4 yards when, you know, it might have only been 1 yard, you know, when you looked at the hole on film, you're like, oh, this isn't gonna be much of a gain.
Yeah.
But he hits it and you know, gets us four. And then he's also, you know, done a great job of breaking tackles too, which is goes down to his running so hard.
Just a young guy too on the team, redshirt freshman, and so he'll be back with the Eagles for a ways to go down the line. And great to see Jake, a young guy, getting so much experience and talent. Jay Long with us on the show here tonight. Jay, let's go to your defense now. You guys turn in 3 sacks, Deontay Jackson, a interception, a huge tackle for loss. Tucker Peterson, the play of the game, I thought, the 25-yard pick six that got CSC to within 21-18 in the third quarter. That really flipped the game. Sacks and turnovers, that's a great way to get the job done, right?
Yes, and I mean, their offense is a triple option. And then, you know, Dave, I'm sure you were talking about on the radio, but they also really milking the clock. I mean, they were not snapping it until, you know, 5-10 seconds left on the clock. So they were eating, you know, at least 30 seconds off of every play, which also does affect, you know, offense's rhythm with things. But that was something that they were going into their game plan, you know, doing. And, you know, the stats showed that we had 11 tackles for losses, which is, you know, outstanding. And, you know, I thought our defense played really well. And, you know, is there always plays you'd like to have back? Heck yeah, there is. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I thought that, you know, that we were all over the place. We scored on defense and, you know, just we did a really, really good job swarming the ball and swarming the ball carrier because their quarterback is really dynamic and really, you know, a special player. And it was interesting because one of the quarterbacks got hurt. And then they brought in number two and you're like, hey, maybe we want to go back to that other quarterback. Number two had a couple spark plays on us with things. But, you know, really proud of how the guys went out and competed, and you know, we found a way to win.
From my vantage point, kind of a low vantage point, looking over and seeing Tucker with that pick six, it looked like he threw it right to him, but from a higher, maybe on film, or how did it look to you guys when you reviewed it and watched it? It looked like it was just a perfect play right for Tucker to take it into the end zone. And was that the play of the game in your mind too that shifted things?
Huge. It was really huge. I mean, we were down at that time, you know, by 2 scores, and you know, that play put us back within 3.
Yeah.
And then we went for the 2-point conversion, and we got the 2-point conversion, which then stacked on that momentum of things. So yeah, I love that play. That was awesome. You know, Tucker's been coming up some huge spark plays, especially as a freshman, really exciting, true freshman, and really exciting player. And you know, I think I said this a few weeks ago, but you know, all he knows is winning, and came from a high school program that's a winning program, and guys like him are guys that you want to build your team around, because of the way that he plays and plays so hard, and he just expects to win every time he's out on that field.
Hunter O'Connor wreaked a lot of havoc as normal, the All-American for you, and Joey Guile a bunch of tackles, and I know he won't be found in the stats, fans. They're trying to work on that. I think get it hopefully all updated with Joey's totals for him and for the history books, but just going back and listening to the game, I can assure you he was there. I remember seeing it, and Jay, those two guys were really making things difficult for Highlands.
They were all over the place. I mean, our front seven was just all over the place, and our secondary, I mean, we obviously got two picks from that, and you know, we have to smother the run and then make them force them to throw, and when they did that, you know, our guys really executed. I mean, I think that our whole defense just really played outstanding on Saturday, and it was really exciting to watch.
Jay, there was a moment in the game I want to just get your thoughts on specifically. The Cowboys had it at the Eagle 17. You guys get a fourth down stop that prevented them from going up something like 28-10 or 24-10. How mm-hmm. big was that possession and that stop?
That was big. I mean, in the second half, we really, I mean, Highlands' offense really wasn't, I don't know if they even hardly got a first down, maybe a couple.
They threw for 1 yard after halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah, and we knew that, that we needed to get that stop. They got a huge stop. And then we were able to get a big return from Tommy on our punt return, and I felt that stop was huge, just as huge as that interception for a touchdown. Both of those are big plays.
The play that ultimately got you over the top, Coach, on 3rd and 4 at the Cowboy 8-yard line, you had Peter Krohn get open in the corner of the end zone for that touchdown catch. It was a perfect play call, and Pete seems to come up with a lot of big important catches for you.
You asked me earlier about the what happened, what was different in the second half, and this is one of those plays that we took advantage of the blitz. When you look at it, we ran the ball, got to about, I think it was right around that, well, you just said it was the 8-yard line, and Coach Smith ran a sweep play to the left to get us on the left hash, just in case we didn't get the first down, we were able to kick the field goal and be able to tie and go into overtime. When we went to the left hash, then he set up the play that, we knew they were going to be blitzing us. They'd been blitzing us all game. And, when you watch the NFL and those type of things, you're always like, well, how come the tight ends are always so open in the red zone? And that was one of those plays where they brought the pressure on us. Peter got out nice and easy and was able to catch the winning touchdown for us. So that was really a huge play. Peter always comes, like I said, Peter is a guy that we can really count on. He's an Eagle and a guy that, is really, he does things right. I guess that's the best way to put it. Does things right, and I was really happy for him to come out with that catch.
Yeah, it was a spectacular play call and execution by the guys. A fun moment to get the lead and then end up winning the ball game, Jay.
There's another little story to this. Peter, the last time he was at Highlands, had a huge catch where he was wide open, and it was his first time there. And I don't know how many yards it was, but the story, obviously, the tall tale gets a little bit bigger. But I think
right, as the years go by.
Yeah, 60 or 70 yard, going to be a touchdown. And the guy stripped the ball right on the 1-yard line for him, so it negated his touchdown. And that was in the same end zone. So Peter broke the curse of that, and was really excited for him because that play hurt him for a long time, because that would have been his first touchdown, and I don't think he had a touchdown that the rest of the year. So that was broke the Peter's curse for him.
Great to have the curse broken. I remember that. I wasn't going to say it, Jay. I'm glad you brought it up and not me. And sometimes we joke about it, and Pete he's fun about it. Yeah. He knows those things kind of happen. Yeah. Reminds you of the old Dallas Cowboy Leon Lett play with Don Beebe, of course, of CSC Lore, who went down there, knocked it out of Leon's hands as he was going to score. So glad Pete got to make up for that, atone for that in that same end zone.
Exactly. And the funny part after the game, I went and I'm hugging him, everything, and that was the first thing that we both brought up.
He brought it up.
I can't remember if I brought it up or he brought it up, but but it's been brought up a few times in Peter's life. And if you ever watch how he carries the ball now, it was a very valuable learning lesson for him. It won't happen to him again. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, he can play at peace for the rest of his life. Yes. After making up with the touchdown in that end zone. That's the Pete Crone end zone from here on out. But huge catch for Peter as we continue here with Coach Long on our Tuesday night Jay Long Show. Jay, we always select the Hammer Award or announce the selection of the Hammer Award for great special teams play. Who were the nominees and who got it this week?
Dave, our week is a little bit we missed one meeting. We came back from Highlands about Colorado Springs. We ran into a blizzard and ended up staying at Parker, and we didn't get home till Sunday, till right around that 4 o'clock. So I just let the guys get their treatments, and then we gave them the rest of the Sunday off to get their academics right and that. And then on Monday is their NCAA day off because we wanted to make sure we kept them in the best routine we possibly could. So after practice today is we're going to vote for it. I am guessing that Brody Eisenbron, he had a really good day. He punted for, I think, right around that 40-yard average and into the wind. And, and that wind was tough wind. And I thought he had a really big day putting the ball where it needed to. Jalen Bird had a really big hit on kickoff. The guys always love that. Nothing fires up a team bigger than a big hit.
Yeah.
And when we needed it. And then Tommy had some really good punt returns. So I assume that those three guys will be some nominees with things. So it'll be exciting to see who ends up voting for it or who ends up getting the hammer.
Yeah, a lot of good candidates there. And Brody, with the way that wind was blowing, and he was able to get one pinned deep inside their five, mm-hmm. even with that, and just another phenomenal season for him. So let us know this week, and we'll talk about it in the pregame show. We'll let fans know. How about the injuries and health? Xavier Harrell didn't play, but I don't recall anything that major at all happening during the game. I think we came out okay, didn't we?
Yeah, everybody finished the game. Today's practice, we just got done with our injury report. Looks like everybody's going to be practicing. We came out healthy, and the good news is I think Xavier should be good to go for this weekend. We'll know more here in about 2 days, but right now it looks like he's going to be able to play.
Well, that's good news to have him back for the Mesa trip. And speaking of the Mesa trip, that's coming up next. And before we get into your kind of early thoughts on the matchup, Jay, because we were snowed in and didn't get home till 4 or 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, that took away any kind of a weekend we all wanted to have, and that's all right. It's college football season; they're few and far between anyway. But how much does it set you guys back in terms of your preparation? What kind of changes do you make this week since you lost that day?
With all the digital media that we have right now, is that what we did is us coaches, we broke down the film, it's called Huddle, HUDL.
Oh, yeah.
Our high school uses it. I mean, it's a very, very familiar name in football, but we're able to type notes in and that type of stuff. So what I did with, like, for example, my O-line is we graded them, and then when we graded them, we put in our notes what a kid needed to do in the notes. Then all the kids, all of my old linemen, they went and watched it on the bus as we were coming back, and then they gave me a sheet of their notes on what they saw, and I just actually looked at every kid right in the eye and said, hey, was there anything that we have questions on? And when the kids had the questions, then we just go watch it on clips, that individual clip, and show that they were good or not, and what they needed to do, and those type of things. But that was pretty similar amongst everybody, what every group did. So what we would normally do on the Sunday is we would have that meeting. It would take about 45 minutes, and we would go through everybody's fixes and what they did well. And so that meeting didn't happen, but it just happened in a different way. Then we normally practice, and that practice is on Sunday, but I just felt like it wasn't. We only got 2 weeks left of the season. So, I mean, when you're looking at it right now, our kids should know where they're at, should know what they're doing, I think our kids know that. So basically that's the 45-minute practice, and then that meeting is what we missed, and then they missed a weight room. But as far as what we did on Monday, is Monday's their day off. That's their NCAA day off. And Dave, that's really important. It's important for their bodies to heal, to get ready for academics. And we're real excited because, I mean, 3 more days, we're on the bus again. And let's go get after Grand Junction, get down there, and you know, start our next, you know, routine or things. So I thought it was real important to give them this Monday off. And then Tuesday, today is Halloween, and we'll have our normal practice, normal day, and try to get the coaches out of the office as early so they can go out and trick-or-treat with their kids.
You guys practicing in Halloween costumes today on the field? Should we send everybody up to watch that?
Nope, there's none of that. We're going to practice, get it done, and you know, get better, and then we'll put out the film and that type of stuff and restart the process for Wednesday.
All right, Coach, let's finish up with a little bit on Colorado Mesa. Just some early thoughts as these two teams, Mesa and the Eagles, in kind of the same boat, looking for a strong finish. The winning team gets to 500 this week. Early thoughts from you on what you know about Mesa or what you like about this matchup?
You know, last year we lost a heartbreaker to them. And, you know, I guess when you ask me what's my first thoughts, that's my first thoughts.
Payback.
And, yeah, I'm excited to go up there. I mean, it's one of the things where, you know, on Thursday we're going to practice. And as you know, practice, we're going to take off, you know, to Grand Junction. And I'm just extremely excited to get on the bus, get back out there, and get back to playing. And, you know, really our guys right now, we're down to, you know, 40 hours left of football, I guess, Cara of football. And, you know, so our guys know that, you know, let's go out and let's have some energy and let's go out and let's play. And you know, when you look at it, you know, on paper, this is going to be one of them games, man. And you know, and we got to go out and we got to, you know, compete against the Eagles and compete against our standard. And, you know, I think that our guys are excited. We're excited. But it all starts with this practice today. So that's what we're focused on now.
This one does really look like it could be one of the most competitive and hard-knocking type of games we're going to have this season. Should be a lot of fun. Can't wait to preview it with you on the pregame show Saturday, and the kickoff is at 1:05 in Grand Junction, and we'll have the broadcast for you. So tune in with Jay and I on the pregame show for the thoughts on Mesa. Coach, thanks again. Great job getting the road win. Hopefully you guys can get back on schedule a little bit more for this week. Get ready for Mesa on kind of a short week and a weather-weird week, but always appreciate the thoughts and looking forward to the trip this week.
Oh, yeah, we're excited, Dave, and thank you for everybody's support, and let's go Eagles.
The Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268.
Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.